Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. It's been awful good to us, amen. Hope everyone had a beautiful Christmas. Enjoyed your family. And we'll take everything to the Lord tonight. Who has a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Yes, Miss Helen. Okay. Okay, didn't know that. Shirley's son Gary, okay. I went to school with Gary. All right, yes, Miss Stacy. Tracy, okay, let's remember that. Tracy's a big part of us, so remember Tracy about that hip surgery. And remember Judy Hostclaw tonight. Had Bill's funeral today. So remember that whole family. Anybody else tonight?
Lynn's having surgery next week. It's
coming up pretty close, yes. Jen, you know about that, Jimmy? The 11th, okay. So keep in your prayers. That's coming. That'll be here before you know it. Good to see Miss Becky back tonight. Doris gave you another night off, honey. She's trying her best to get over that stuff. Just be careful when you're out, you know. As Jackie tells me, this is not the best time to shake a lot of hands and hug a lot of necks. But somehow I come home with lipstick on my thank collar every day. She says, who and what is going on here? I says, I don't know, honey. You get in the habit, that's just what you do. All right. Brother John, you come on. We'll take up that offering tonight. Our offering, brother.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the time that you've given us to come here and worship, come to your house, worship you in spirit and truth. Please. Bless us often to the progress of your kingdom, Lord. Bless the ones that for some reason they couldn't make it and they wanted to be here. And bless the ones that choose. Bless your people. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless the preaching of your word tonight. Help us to be better witnesses and out here in this old wicked world. And we just want to serve you, Lord, to give you all the praise, honor, and the glory for everything that's done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You're the best substitute I know, Doris. You're the only one I know. Good job, lady. Good to see Becky back. And Mona's here. Where's Mona? Oh, I couldn't see you there, Mona. You kind of blended in. She said she'd been going into other states. I do too. Different state of mind. Well, it's good to see y'all. Hope you had a good Christmas and enjoyed it with your family and everything. I know there were a lot of families had health issues. It wasn't the same as last year. Some families didn't even get to get together. But that happens sometimes. That's why we ought to take advantage of every opportunity we have to be together. And as I said today at the funeral, if you get a chance to tell somebody you love them, tell them. Don't think, well, I'll tell them some other time. There may not be another time. We don't know. Well, we're coming to the end of Malachi. Malachi chapter 4 is the end of Malachi. It's also the end of the Old Testament. And I'll share a couple of little things with you that'll be relevant for it being the last book in the Old Testament. And it does really come to an end. I have things are a little different with me tonight, so if I look got a weird look on my face, it's because I'm hearing me too. Okay. I bit the bullet. Be like my brother Dave, he wears one. I could wear just one, but I thought I'd try two and see if I could double up on some of y'all. See what you're saying. You know, you've been used to saying about anything you want. I hear you, Sherry. Sherry's back there whispering. If it's not loud enough, I just get my phone out, get on my app and run it up there and say, oh, yeah. Well, Susie got me into that. She put it kind of mild, though. She said, I'm tired of you saying what. And I said, what? This will be our last Wednesday night in this year, too, you know. And usually we have taken the main holidays off on a Sunday night. But I thought this year, it's been an unusual year, 2023. There's been a lot of tragedy this year, but there's also been a lot of good. And I tend to look that way rather than the negative and the tragedies and everything. I just believe we've had a good year at Liberty Fellowship. And so I decided we were going to have a service Sunday night. And if you sing, it is Fifth Sunday. If you sing, you have a song ready to sing. If you'd like to just give a testimony, you don't have to sing. It's going to be both. I just thought there may be somebody that couldn't sing but would like to say how good God has been to you in year 2023. I believe there will be some people who will want to do that. So that's where we'll be Sunday night. Okay, I will read this chapter 4 as we go. There's only 6 verses in chapter 4. We're going to cover all 6 of them. And so let's ask the Lord to bless these 6 verses tonight as we go through them, okay? Lord, we are grateful for everything you've done for us in 2023. We're always grateful for the Word, when we get into the truth of the Word and see how it changes our life. We believe, Lord, that you do change lives every day. And we thank you for how you've changed ours. And we're looking forward to more changes being made in this next year. We're going to trust you that people who are lost will be saved. And people who need healing, and fits your will that you heal them so they can be about your business. Lord, you know what we need. You know what we need to do for you. So we just pray, God, that you'll make yourself visible to all of us by the eyes of faith, so that we can give you glory, praise, and honor for everything. The lost. Oh, Lord, may we win the lost at any cost. Lord, may we reach out to people and let them know there is a place where they can hear the gospel, where they can be saved and go to heaven. And I believe, Lord, this next year is going to be a good year for that. And I'm just looking forward to it. I praise you for everything you've done, everything you're going to do. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. In chapter 3, we dealt with a few things. We've dealt with the righteous. In fact, I believe I said the last time we had a Wednesday night, which was about 3 weeks ago, wasn't it? That we are dealing with how he's dealing with the righteous, how the end time is going to be for the righteous. Now, we know the end of the story. If you've read the Bible, you know how this story ends. But Malachi is giving the Jewish nation a lesson in God's judgment, a lesson in his mercy, a lesson in his grace, his favor on them, his mercy for them, and his judgment on them, giving them a little lesson. So we've dealt with the righteous ones, I believe last Wednesday night, that they were known as the ones who would be remembered. In fact, the Bible says then the book of remembrance was written before him for those that feared the Lord and thought on his name. Remember those two things? That's what they did, and that's what he noticed. By the way, that hasn't changed. God recognizes those that fear him and who think of him, who their thoughts run toward him. If we're not careful, Satan will have our thoughts going in every direction. And by the way, there's a lot of directions. He provides them for you. And every year, something new comes out that takes our attention away from just a plain old simple Word of God. You see, we're an addictive human race. We're addicted to information. That's why you have so many problems with people and their phones, is that we are addicted to information that we get on the phone. And Satan can use that. He can use that for you to take your time going through the phone, trying to find out what all everybody else is doing, and try to figure out what you can do to save the world yourself. And I see some of that stuff all the time. And everybody's got their opinions about how to save everybody else in the world, but there's not but one Savior. And he doesn't need a phone to do it. In fact, he's got the only thing that will do it, and that's his Word. And he gives that to us. And I would like for us just to stay as simple as we possibly can this next year in the Word. And I know we have our phones, and I know we live by them. I have one of those big heavy things too. And I have to live by it because y'all text me all the time. You call me all the time. I have to, if I don't answer, I get rolled over the coals. But if you don't answer, it's okay. Sherry's life, and so it's okay for all of you to laugh now. Okay? I'm just kidding with you. But there's a little truth into all kidding, and I do believe that we need to watch our phones. It was a few years ago we were hinting that parents ought to control the phones of their children. Well, that went awry. That didn't happen. And so that's not getting better either. But maybe, just maybe, we can find a solution to some of the problems we have about that. But what we want to do is try to keep our minds on Him. Keep our minds on Him, because He said He remembered them because they feared the Lord and thought on Him. That's the two simple things that they did. And so they were the remembered ones. Then we said that they would also be a rewarded people. That's another R. They would be the rewarded people. He said about that, they shall be mine. Mm-hmm. When I make up my jewels. Yeah. Heard a man today talk about jewels, and he didn't bring this scripture out, but I thought of it when he brought it out. He was talking about the casket, and Les already mentioned Bill's funeral service this morning at 10:30 out at Washington County Memory Gardens, and do remember Judy in your prayers, and her number is in the directory, and maybe some of you ladies could give her a call. She did say she would be here Sunday, and I pray that that happens. She needs to get back and get in. And so he said at the other funeral, I was in my cousin's funeral, the pastor that was doing that, he was talking about a coffin and what a coffin is. And he came up with other words used for coffin. And one of them was a hope chest. In certain areas, I can't tell you exactly how he came to that point, but he said a coffin is like a hope chest. And y'all know what a hope chest is. Hope chest is what you keep putting into stuff for a young lady when she gets married. Am I right? And she can open that hope chest up and see all the things that are in there that might help her to have a better life. But he said it's also a jewel box. A coffin is a jewel box. And so this came to my mind when the Lord said, I'm clearing my throat. Is that okay? And these hearing aids make it sound about twice as loud for me, because it seems like it's coming back. But that'll be okay. I'll adjust and get used to it, and I won't miss a word you say. If I do, I'll just say, yeah. They shall be mine, and I will. They shall be mine when I make up my jewels. I want you to know you're special to Him. You're a jewel. You are, and you're in the jewel box, and we're going to be opened one of these days, and the jewels will be there to adorn the one who loves you. It's going to be good. You know, when a lady gets into the jewel box and gets all that fancy stuff out and puts those earrings on and that necklace and those bracelets and all those rings and stuff and looks in that mirror and says, man, I look good. I look like I've got some good jewelry. Jewelry makes you feel wonderful, doesn't it? Well, the Lord mentioned jewels, and he's mentioned a whole lot of different valuable stones, so we know it's important. Then he says that they were also recognized by him. Now, I like being recognized. Don't you? I do. I like being recognized. I don't live for it, but I like being recognized. I like, if I walk into a room, I'd like for somebody to say, well, there's Dan. I would do the same for you. If you walked into the room, I would recognize that you walked into the room. When I walk in here, I recognize everybody who's here. Now, it may be that I may not say anything to you when I walk in, and if you're not the first one that I speak to, don't get upset with me, okay? Just let it ride. By the time the service is over, I will recognize you that I know you're in the room. It's been my life to recognize when people are in the room. And so I do that. But more important than that is that one day the Lord's going to recognize me for who I am. Not who you think I am, who he knows I am. He's going to recognize me. So they were people who were recognized. He said, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between the righteous and the wicked. Now, tonight, we're going to go into chapter 4, and we're going to continue. Malachi continues to deal justly with the saints. He's still dealing with the righteous now, just like he was that last Wednesday night we were here. But it's a little bit different. In fact, he talks, verse 1, 2, and 3 has its own message, and then 4, 5, and 6 will have its message. So we're dividing chapter 4 up into two parts. First of all, he says that one day he will rescue them. Now, he's talking to the Jews here, but I can assure you that it's the same for us. He's our deliverer. He's our rescuer. He's our savior. He's the one who gets us out of where we are and can't get out ourselves. We're in a cruel world, folks. We're in a mean, evil, cruel world, and we can't get out of it. We're here. We're in it, but we're not of it. We have a Savior. We have one who can not only save us to live a good life here on this earth while we're here. See, even though the evil is all around us, we don't have to pay attention to the evil and let it overwhelm us. Darkness does not overwhelm light. Light overwhelms darkness. And we are the light. We need to live like we are the light and not afraid of the dark. We don't need to be afraid of the dark. We don't need to be afraid of what's in the dark. We don't need to be afraid of evil. Sometimes you'll look on your phone, that thing where you get all kinds of information, and you'll see that there are people who live on there just for the dark side. Have you seen any of those? How many of y'all on Facebook? Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about raising your hand. I'm not going to tell on you. Well, if you're on there, you know what I'm talking about, because it'll automatically pop up, and you'll see that some of the people you never thought would say some of the dark things they say, they'll say them. And a lot of it they get from other people who say dark stuff, and then it just keeps flowing. Well, here he's going to rescue them, and one day he'll rescue us also. Look at verse 1 in the first three verses of this, because he's dealing with in the day of the Lord. And he's been dealing with that ever since we started the book of Malachi. So in verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. Now, when I read that, I couldn't help but remember burning my garden off last week. And I had a bunch of, I have a lot of stubble on it. I had some old what's those big round flowers, yellow? I raise a lot of them. Oh, yeah. I don't raise little sunflowers. I raise 10, 12-foot high sunflowers, and some of them are like this. Well, when you go to cut them down, they're pretty big. And so I let them lay there for a long time, and then I put them all in with all those flowers I had out there that I cut down, kept the seed, and everything else that's on the garden. I raked it all up into a pile, and I put a little stuff on it to help it, and I threw a match in on it, and it took off, and I watched it burn, and I watched the stubble. I watched it get rid of it. What was a big pile at first became nothing when it got through. Every bit of that stubble that was on there burned up. Now let's read it again. He says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be" what? Now he's talking about people being exactly this. This is not the stubble on my garden. These are people he's talking about. "Shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." This is not the only book where we learn how powerful fire is and how it can cleanse. In fact, I do believe that he said one day he would cleanse this whole earth. Can you imagine getting rid of all the stubble at one time? It's going to be some bonfire, isn't it? It is. But we don't fear that. We don't worry about that. We're not going to be there. Amen? We're going to be where he's already planned and prepared for us to be. We're going to be in a new home with air condition. You believe the Lord will have air condition? Oh, I believe it'll be the best ever. And you won't ever have to replace it. You won't have to worry, will I have to replace that unit this year? You won't ever have to replace it. It's going to be perfect breathing in heaven. You won't have to worry about getting some kind of a virus, a COVID or flu or anything. Everything's going to be good because he's going to take care of it. It's going to be perfect. It is. So when he said here that they would, it would be a day as an oven, and that all the proud and the wicked, and it'll be like stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up. He's not mincing words there. "Saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Now, we can understand not leaving branches, because branches burn up with the rest of it. But what about the root? Why in the world would he also burn the root and make sure the root is burned? Because the only way that can come back is if the root still lives. If the root still lives, it can come back. He's going to kill it all. He's going to cleanse it. That's his way of cleansing, and he's going to. Malachi didn't know about this. He just wrote about it. You see, God told him through his Holy Spirit what he wanted him to write, and he did write exactly that. So when the people read it, they didn't have to wonder what he was saying. They heard exactly what he was saying. There's going to be a day, and it's coming. It wasn't that it might not make it or that it could come. No, it's coming. It's coming. It's, as John says, it's on the way, and it'll happen. Now, this has been taught not just in Malachi or in the minor prophets. This has been taught since the very first of the Old Testament. This very same thing. We've been in a lot of the older books, in Genesis, Exodus. We've been in those, and we know that's exactly what he teaches, that one day this is going to happen. Malachi just continued to do what they had been doing because God wanted it to continue. Because his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not going to change. So Malachi is spot on because he listened to the Holy Spirit of God and he brought it out exactly the way God wanted it brought out. Now in verse 2 he said, But unto you that fear my name. Does that sound like there's going to be a change? Sounds exactly like there's going to be a change. Because the word but makes sure of that. I'm not in verse 1. No. Verse 2 excites me. But unto you that fear my name, and that was part of that area last Wednesday night when we covered this, that was one of the things they did, that he recognized them and paid attention to them because they did fear his name. He said, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Mm-mm. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That's where he wants everybody to come to. That's where he wanted them in the beginning. When the Old Testament began, that was his plan, was to have his own people and them looking to him and glorifying his name, living for him, serving him, being everything they should be. But we know when we go through the Old Testament, it was up and down. They would come back to him, then they would go away again. They would come back and they would go away. Is that not like mankind today? Do we excuse that because that mankind is that way today? There is no excuse for it. There's not. We just need to know that what God said would happen to them, it'll happen to us. There's going to be a judgment for the way we live. So he said, you see, Malachi saw this day coming. He had the vision. Remember when we first started Malachi? He had the vision. And in his vision, he saw this day coming in that vision. But he also saw a day that was going to be good for those who listened to the Lord, obeyed the Lord, feared the Lord, and thought about the Lord. He brought all that in, and he saw a new day dawning for them. How many of y'all saw the sun set just a little while ago? Didn't that just take your breath away? Well, you see, in the mornings, that same thing happens in the mornings. The clouds are just right. The gases in the atmosphere are just right. And some of you probably never see a sunrise. But it happens in the mornings. And it'll just take your breath when that happens. And I watched it in my rearview mirror all the way from my house to where I turned down in this neighborhood. I could see the sky just glowing with that beautiful glow. And I told Susie, I said, that's the warmest thing I've ever seen for a 40-some degree day. He can light up a 40-some degree day, can't he? He can warm it up if we just look at him. So he says, Malachi saw what was going on here, and he saw this coming day where there was going to be not the burning that he said in verse 1, but that dawning of a new day for his people. The night time of the great tribulation, of which he's already been talking about in the book of Malachi, will end, and there will be a new day. There will be a dawn for God's people. God's people are going to wake up to a new day. You ever wonder what it's like just to live day by day, getting up, going out, and seeing all the bad that there is? I think about policemen when I think about people like that. I respect the people who go out and protect our community, and I know there's some of them are jokes, but that's what they're supposed to do, is protect our community. And I appreciate them going and putting their lives on the line, because we hear all the time where people go out to do a wellness check or a check out a phone call where somebody's threatening somebody, and they go out and they get shot themselves. So that's the world we live in. Now, if we just look forward to the future, there'll be a day when there won't be a need for a policeman. There won't be a need. There won't be a need for a doctor anymore. Won't that be good? There won't be a need for anything that would cost you physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. There'll be none of it. It's going to be a perfect day. It's going to be a day that the Lord has created. So in verse 2, he's telling us about that day when that new day that's going to dawn for his people. Now, this is after Armageddon. After Armageddon, there'll be a time for healing. Now, we don't think like that when we think about Armageddon. We just talk about total destruction and blood running to the bridle of the horse. And we talk about all the things that are going to happen at Armageddon. But what about when Armageddon's over? What's going to happen? What's going to be exactly what Malachi is saying here? There's going to be a time of healing. It's going to be a good time. And he said, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness." The Son of Righteousness is going to be looking after those that fear his name. Malachi told me so. I believe it. You know why I believe Malachi? Because Malachi got it from the one I do believe. This is God's word. This is not Malachi's word. This is God's word written down, given to us by Malachi himself, who listened to the Lord and put it down exactly the way God told him to. You say, how do you know that he put it down exactly the way he told him to? Because God is protecting his word. It's not up to Malachi. It never was up to Malachi. It's up to God to protect his word, and we get it the way he wanted us to get it. It's going to be a wonderful place. It's going to be a safe place. Safe. It is. In fact, he said at the end of verse 2, let me just read that for you. He said, with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth, going forward, and do what? And grow up as calves of the stall. Have you ever seen a calf that's been stalled for a while, and you go in and he's like, I've got more energy here than I can stand. I need that door opened and I need out of here. Well, that's what he's talking about here. Where the stalled calf gets set free and gets out of there. I used to live on a farm. I know. In fact, there was a little bull in the stall one day, and my brother Dave, who didn't have very much sense, he was just in like the third grade, I think, bless his heart. But you'd think he'd known something about a bull, but he didn't. He got in that stall with that bull, and that bull pinned him, his whole body pinned him up against the side of the barn, and it did some damage to him. It wasn't a small thing. I'm just glad it wasn't a full-grown bull. It was a young bull, but a young bull could have killed Dave that day. But it didn't. God had and when I heard him doing that funeral last night for my cousin with Brother Weems up the road here, and then seeing him over today doing what God intended for him to do. You know, really, if God didn't have a purpose for you, you'd been dead now too. Every one of us, we would not be here if God didn't have a purpose. You say, well, man's got an appointed day to die. He does. And God appoints that. And if it wasn't for what God has done for you and given you, we'd be dead. If we didn't have a reason to be here, we'd be dead, because there's no other reason to be here except to glorify Him. It's what the Bible says, that we're to glorify Him and serve Him while we're here on this earth. So he's going to take care of that, and there's going to be some healing for those who get to the other end of the Armageddon. And it's going to be a wonderful place. It's going to be like calves loosed from the stalls, and they're going to be free to be. Now in verse 3, he puts it this way. In verse 3, he says, "And ye shall tread down the wicked." Who? Who will tread down the wicked? Righteous. The righteous. Yeah. Let's read it. "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." Who's he putting in charge at that time? If you're righteous, it'll be you. Now, he's talking about the Jews here. At the same time, I believe there's a parallel here myself, but it'll be for us also. Take a look at it. Now, today it doesn't look that way. You agree with me? Today it looks like that those who are wicked and evil are triumphing over the righteous people. We're just here to fill in space. But the day is coming that will be reversed. And that's what he's telling us in verse 3. That day will be reversed. Malachi could see the righteous coming into their own. And if you've got a little bit of spiritual foresight, you can see your day coming when you won't have to worry about what this world can do to you. God's got your life planned. He's got your eternity planned. From here to there is just a step over, and I promise you, you won't know you stepped over until you get there. One of the illustrations I used in my message for Bill's funeral this morning was the same one I heard at the funeral last night, and I thought it was so good that when he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that's just a complete statement as far as we're concerned. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We kind of read right through it. But if you say to be absent from the body, now if you're absent from the body, you've moved. Something's happened. And so he used it like when we die, we say, there he goes, or there she goes. They're leaving here. But over there on the other side, they're saying, here they come. Now, I don't know about you, but I would rather hear the words, here he comes, than there he goes. Wouldn't you? It doesn't matter about death. Death doesn't bother us. You say, well, you can say that, you're old. I am and I can. And it would be okay. And I don't say that it would be okay if the Lord took me today. I don't say that because I have lived my life. And I know where I am in life. I don't say it because of that. I say it because I've been yearning for the day when the Lord says, it's time to come home. I want him to say, here he comes. You all be saying, there he goes. But when you say, there he goes, smile, because you know they're saying on the other side, here he comes. Okay? That good stuff or what? Yeah, or what? Okay, look at verse 4, if you will. Verse 4 puts it like this. "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant." You remember Moses? "Remember ye the law of Moses." We know the law of Moses. "My servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel." Remember the law he gave to them for them to live by? This is how you're going to live. This is what we want. Did you know that the laws that we have in the courthouse down in Jonesboro have to do with the law of Moses? For some reason or other, people got it in their minds that the Ten Commandments didn't have anything to do with anything down here on this earth. That was just some kind of a spiritual thing in a Bible, some book called the Bible, of which there are other religious books out there. This is just one. No, it's not just one. It is the one. This is God's word, and there's not another. You believe that? That's where we have to be, folks, because that's exactly where it is. He says, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments." Both of those are the same. Those are his words. Statutes and judgments are just simply his word. He gave that to Moses, and Moses had something to do with it. But here's what happened. This is that time of revival that Malachi was talking about earlier in his book. He talked about a time when there'd be a revival. I don't know when you could have a better revival than to remember. In fact, he's mentioned Elijah too, if you know, that for us to understand what Moses and Elijah was. Moses and Elijah, they left this world different ways. Do you remember? Moses died and they buried him in a secret tomb. It was a secret. Yeah. How would you like to die and then bury you where nobody'd ever know where you were buried? That's what happened to Moses. I don't know that it means anything. It's just a body, you know, but that's what happened to him. I was just showing you the difference in the two. Elijah never even died. He was just taken up. Can you imagine having your own personal rapture? I mean, what a way. We talk about the rapture for the church, and I could see me going up before Rusty. But the truth is, we're all going to be caught up together. And that'll cut out my passing Rusty. He'll be just as fast as I am going up. We're going to be caught up together to be with him in the air. That's what he's promised us. That's going to happen. I can't wait for that to happen. But Moses and Elijah didn't have that. Oh, Moses, he just died and they buried him secretly. But Elijah, wow. He passed into eternity. Some folks don't think about Elijah passing into eternity like we would if we die. We go right into eternity from there. Elijah did too. Sure did. God took care of it. He took him up a different way. He gave him his own unusual circumstance, I would say. That's not usual. You won't see that happen over here at Monte Vista or any of these other cemeteries around here. That's not going to happen. But it happened on this day. Elijah, who did not die, went into heaven personally before the Lord. I don't know why the Lord called him up that way, but if he called him up that way, there would be a reason for him to be called up right in front of him. I got a feeling he went straight to God himself. And I suppose he had some questions. I suppose God had some questions that he already knew the answers to. But anyway, they were there together because this was a very personal thing that happened to Elijah. God would not say any more to his people. He wouldn't say anything else for 400 years. Now, when we read the last word, don't look now to that. What's the last word in Malachi? Does anybody know yet? You do? You peeped. Well, I don't want you to look now because That's part of what Malachi was all about. Yeah. 400 years. You know what happened during that 400 years? Now, you do know there's 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. What happened in that 400 years? I can tell you this. It was not like the millennial. That's going to be a time of peace. It was an awful time. It was an awful time. And mainly because of the last word that was used in the book of Malachi, where the people were led to. The overall, not the ones who were obedient and feared the Lord and thought on his name now. If you don't want to go to hell, you better get right with God. If you want to go to heaven, you better get right with God. That's the same statement, just said a little differently. If you want to go to heaven, get right with God. If you don't want to go to hell, get right with God. Because what he says is true. He's coming, he's going to judge sin, and he's going to do the punishment. Actually, he's given man every opportunity to get right with him and miss hell and go to heaven. So wouldn't it be man's fault if he goes? It's not God's. He's done everything he could to make sure we don't go there. Then God's word steps back in after 400 years. What have we been going through for the last week? Huh? Yeah. What happened in the very first part of the New Testament? What did he say? Who'd he allude to that was coming in all the minor prophets? He occasionally he would say, yeah, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be one coming, and you'll like it. So for that 400 years, they lived awful. And then God's word, which was inspired, the inspired word of God, would prove to be an anchor for the Jews. If they believed the word of God, they would be anchored, and their life would be what he wants it to be. And if the word of God does not have you anchored, you're not anchored. It is the only anchor. Because he's the anchor. I love that song that Les sings. My anchor holds and grips that solid rock. That's what his word is. So he says, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded in the hem and Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Verse 5 and 6 actually go together. Behold, I will send you Elijah. That's where he mentions Elijah and Moses together. By the way, y'all do know what part Moses and Elijah has at the end of this thing? You see, when Moses did what he did it in the spirit of Elijah. It won't be the spirit of Elijah when all this comes in the day of the Lord. It won't be the spirit of Elijah. Elijah's coming back. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The great and dreadful day. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. The thing that did not happen, the thing that did not happen before, he says, I'm going to make sure it happens now. So it wasn't just the spirit of Elijah. He's going to send Elijah to do it. You think Elijah's got the power? Elijah don't have the power. By the way, we don't have any power except we be obedient to the Word of God and share the power of the Word of God to this old world. We can make a difference in this world by simply sharing the most powerful thing that ever came to this old world. And that's the Word of God. We talk about how powerful water is and how powerful wind is and how powerful fire is. All these things are very powerful. There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God, because not only can the Word of God change your very soul, like fire and water and that sort of thing can only change where it's at right there. God's Word can change your soul for eternity. So he says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. That didn't happen during that 400 years. And the heart of the children to the fathers. He can reach both sides of this thing. Sometimes you want to reach out and help some of these families who are having such a hard time. Where a father or a mother goes off and maybe on drugs and alcohol and abuses their children or abuse each other, whatever is going on, and that's not right. It's not right, but you know why it happens? It's a big three-letter word. And as Tom would say, it starts with an S. That's the reason. When something happens in your family and upsets things, do we understand it's sin that causes that? We ought to hate it. My sin or your sin, it's all the same. It's bad. It's ugly. It's evil. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The last word in the Old Testament before the Messiah would come, where we hear blessed, blessed. The last word in the Old Testament is curse, curse. I don't live a cursed life. If I were lost, I would be living a cursed life. I would be dead in my trespasses and sins. I would be on the road to hell, to be in eternity, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. That's not where I'm going. I'm going where he prepared a place for me. And he said, and if I prepare a place for you, I'll come and get you and take you there. It's going to be your place. I've got it ready for you. And not only will you have your place, you'll be with me. I'll come and get you. Very personal. We have a personal God, folks. Very personal God. We have a very powerful God. He has all power in heaven and in earth. That's why we fear him. That's why we fear him. And we've been told, and it's the truth, there's different kinds of love. We don't fear him simply because he can strike us dead at any moment. He can. You need to know that. He can take you out of here. He said he could. He can take you out before your time. He said he could. But we look up
with a love for him for what he did for us. He sent his only begotten son, a little baby, to a manger in Bethlehem, who would grow for 33 years and be treated terribly here on this earth, and one day would lay his life down on an old rugged cross so that me and you could have eternal life. Let's pray. You know, when he decided to send his son Jesus down to be born in Bethlehem, he sent a forerunner. His name was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was to prepare the way for Jesus to come. And he was trying to bring the nation back to God. It didn't happen. You know what happened? They killed John the Baptist. Then they crucified our Lord. That's why he used the final word of the Old Testament as curse. So he says, would you prefer to have a curse or Christ? Which would you prefer? A curse or Christ? This was not only the last message to the Jew in the Old Testament. It is a message for you today too. And me. I choose Christ. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the truth of your word. We're thankful for the simplicity of the word. Lord, I pray that tonight we got something really good that will take us into tomorrow, that we can share with this whole world. And we can be the light that we ought to be, so that they can too see that one day, without Jesus, they go to hell. But one day, with Jesus, they go to heaven. Not to be with each other as much as to be there with the one who loved us and saved us. Lord, we're so grateful for everything you do for us. We're going to say, Lord, as we leave here, that we leave here loving each other, that we leave here helping each other, that we'll be what we need to be to brothers and sisters alike. And we'll praise you, God, for whatever you do for us and how you allow us to be used. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday morning, we'll get here before you know it.